I've got some teenagers at home. They have reached that age where they're old enough to go somewhere, but they're not old enough to get there. So I have to drive them everywhere they go, like a full-time Uber driver, except I don't get paid. They just call me, and they think I'm at the ready. So I spend a lot of time in the car. It's actually a blessing. Spend a lot of time in my car with my children, whisking them around town. I was with my daughter just last week, taking her somewhere. And we had the radio on. This old Eagles song came on. Take It Easy, great song, came on. I love that song. Glenn Frey, the late, great Glenn Frey, was blaring through the speakers. I was enjoying myself. And then, out of nowhere, simultaneously, my arm and my daughter's arm, who's in the front seat, both descended like rockets towards the radio. And my right arm was headed to the dial to turn it up. Her left arm was descending to the other dial to change the station. And there was like a collision. And I said, wait a minute, what are you doing? She said, this is a terrible song. I said, this is not a terrible song. This is one of the greatest songs of all time. She said, Dad, your music is so boring. And I said, well, it may be boring, but I'm driving, and this is what we're going to listen to. And she sat there, and she gave me, you know, those little teenagers, you know, little you have a teenage daughter? She gave me that. She sat there, and then the song went on. About a minute into the song, she said, where even is Winslow, Arizona? You know? She's like, I don't know. That doesn't even matter. But it is amazing to me how two people can experience the same thing, but in exactly different ways. You ever notice that? Two people can experience the same thing, but in entirely different ways. Same song, different response. You can do a little scientific experiment today if you don't believe me. When this service is over, gather four or five people, just pick some strangers and say, hey, we are just in the same service. What'd you think about the sermon, right? Four or five people. I'm telling you, one person will say, oh, it's a great sermon. I thought he was preaching just to me. That was convicting. I'm going to leave out of here with a resurrection spirit. That was the best sermon I've ever. You ask the next person, say, what'd you think about the sermon? They'll say, there was one. You know, I'm telling you, this will happen in about 20 minutes, right? You'll ask somebody else, what'd you think? And they'll say, well, I was allergic to all the flowers. And you're sitting here, and same service, different experience. Why does that happen? How does that happen? And the truth is, your perspective determines your experience, right? Your perspective determines your experience. And at Easter, we don't just celebrate an event, we celebrate a perspective. And that's my prayer for everyone in here this morning, is that you'll leave out of here with a resurrection perspective. You'll leave today with a resurrection perspective in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, and in your life. Now, Easter is an event. It's the foundational event of our faith. Without it, Scripture says we ought to be pitied. Without it, Paul says we are nothing. It is the hinge on which our entire faith swings. It is an event. But look, it is nothing if it doesn't change your perspective. Perspective about life. This isn't just a special occasion. This is a new way of living. Easter calls us to a new way of life, a life where all things truly are possible in Christ. This is a life where new mercies are born every single day, no matter how bad yesterday was. This is a life through the resurrection where the sins of yesterday are wiped clean. Wiped clean. Now that's a different perspective. Easter is a new perspective. And it's not by believing in the resurrection that we no longer go through trials and tribulations and pain and suffering and shortcomings and sin. Of course we go through those, but it's just after the resurrection. We can look at them with a new point of view. That's what resurrection is all about. And what's so wonderful, I think, biblically, is that we've got four different perspectives about the same experience. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, we've got more than that. The Apostle Paul references the resurrection through his perspective. Peter writes letters referencing the resurrection through his perspective. John writes letters referencing the same experience, but through a different perspective. And I want to share with you briefly today from the Gospel of John. There are four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is the fourth narrative about Jesus' life and times in the New Testament. And I love John. John is not only informative, but John is downright entertaining. John is cocky. He is arrogant. He's like your grandfather that is so haggard and grizzled and just doesn't give a rip. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's been around too long. He's been scarred enough. John has gotten so bad, he starts speaking in the third person. You'll see that in a minute, right? It's like Paul Rasmussen wants a drink of water, right? When we reference ourselves in the third person, that is something. That's what John, writing this gospel, does. He's reflecting on Jesus. He understands the context. He's reflecting some 70 years. He's 70 years old, probably 40, 50 years after these things happened. He's reflecting. He knows Jesus had prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows he had been arrested. He had been railroaded through a trumped up accusation at the hands of Pilate. He had been nailed to the cross where he hung for 6 hours to his excruciating death. Now he had been peeled off the cross, wrapped in linens, and laid by his disciples in a nearby tomb, at which point they rolled the stone in front of the tomb to seal it forever. Now, John had actually been at the cross, the scripture says, with Mary. And they each had a certain perspective. And to be sure, they were traumatized by the cross. Absolutely traumatized. They looked at Jesus' death, and they all had their own experience. Peter was traumatized. Mary was traumatized. Judas was traumatized. After betraying Jesus, he sees the pain on the cross. They all have their own perspective. They all have their own experience. And John, now reflecting back on his, has this to say. John chapter 20, verse 1. I hope you'll follow along in your bulletin. We put the scripture in. I don't always ask you to do that, but you might want to circle some of these words because you're going to see a pattern from a guy that's written himself into the story in the third person. I love John. Early on in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, John, writing himself into the story, the one whom Jesus loved. Now that is cocky, right? I always assumed he loved all of them. According to John, he is unique and special. He wants you to know that. And then he goes on, and Mary said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." She arrives. John's reflecting on this. She shows up. It's a big gaping hole. She doesn't see anyone. She runs back to tell them that the body of Jesus has been stolen. Now that is her perspective. How many times in your life has your first perspective about something been wrong? Right, the first time you met him, you thought he was really nice, didn't turn out to be, or you thought he was a jerk, but he didn't turn out to be, right? How many times in life is our first perspective wrong? But that is Mary. She just assumes because the body's not there, it must have been stolen. Verse 3, then Peter and the other disciples set out, and they went toward the tomb. This is where it gets good. This is where it gets competitive. The two were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. John wants us to know that. He is faster than Peter. He needs the world to know that. See, you read this stuff, you never think much about it. What was he thinking while he was writing? He said, "I got to tell him how fast I was. I beat Peter." So here we have John telling us he was loved the most and he's faster than Peter on Easter morning. Then he goes on. He bent down. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. He bent down. He looked in, but he didn't go in. He looked in, but he didn't go in. He's on the outside trying to make sense of what's happening on the inside. Doesn't that describe some of us this morning? We're on the outside looking in, right? We look in this thing called faith, but we don't go in. Look in, but we don't go in. We're trying to assess this thing called faith, and we're on the outside, and we're interested, and we're curious, and we wonder, and we question, and we're trying to make sense from the outside looking in. But isn't it true that some things just don't ever make sense from the outside looking in? You can live your whole life trying to figure God out until you decide to believe. I'm on the outside looking in. That's what John wants us to know, his humanity, his frailty. He said, I was on the outside looking in. And he may have been faster, but he wasn't bolder than Peter. Now Peter, probably a smoker, huffing and puffing, dragging, coming up from behind, finally gets there. But he's impulsive, and he's brave, and he's bold. Verse 6, then Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but actually rolled up in place by itself. Now, you need to know this. The scripture says when John looked on the outside looking in, he saw the linens. The Greek word for saw means to saw, to see, the physical act of looking and seeing. This is a different word. When you read it, it's just going to say saw and saw. But when Peter saw the linens, it's a totally different Greek word. It's the Greek theorio. It doesn't just mean to see, it means to scrutinize. It means to deeply investigate, to look closer, to find out what is at stake, to propagate a theory about that which you see. Peter's gone a little bit deeper, and he sees the linen. He's investigating the linen, and isn't it great in life when sometimes you realize that God leaves behind evidence just to remind you that he's been there all along. John, in the next verse, describing, he says, but I stood there, and I was trying to make sense of everything from the outside looking in, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't figure it out. You know what he needed? I needed a new vantage point. I needed a new perspective. So verse 8, he goes on. Classic John. Then the other disciple, in case you forgot, who reached the tomb first. I mean, he won't let up on this. He also went in and he saw and believed. Again, it's the third time the word see is used, but it is the third different word. This time the Greek word for see means I recognize the significance of. He says, I saw and I believed. And here's all I know on Easter. Some of you today are on the outside looking in. And you're trying to make sense from a distance what you are only going to understand when it becomes up close and personal. Things in life are different when they're personal. They're different. I remember before I had children, I was scared to have children. I thought, I don't know if I'll be any good. I didn't like babies. I wasn't comfortable around babies. I didn't want to hold your baby. I didn't want to see pictures of the baby. It's all changed now. But I was scared to have children. They said, Paul, don't worry about it. When it gets personal, you'll change. And you know they were right. I can't wait to be around babies now, but it took something personal. And that's all Easter is. It's an invitation to step inside the tomb and gain another vantage point of the cross. If you look at the cross from a Friday perspective, it's all doom and gloom and despair and loss. But if you look at the cross from the perspective of the empty tomb, suddenly it's full of possibility. Suddenly it's full of hope. Suddenly it's full of potential. And Easter is an invitation simply to step inside and make it personal. No matter how long you've had doubts, no matter how long you've waited outside looking in, no matter how long you've been trying to figure out God, no matter what you did yesterday, no matter how long it took you to get to the tomb, no matter what perspective you've had before, Easter calls us every year to look at the cross from a different perspective. And remind us that heaven is open, not sealed. Forgiveness is open, not closed. Grace is open, not closed. Love is open. Peace is open. And suddenly John steps in and he sees the same strips of linen. But he sees them from a different point of view. Maybe for the first time in his life, as close as he had been to Christ, he started to see his life from the vantage point, not from the cross, but from an empty tomb. John, who wanted us to know how much he lived for victory, is now living from victory. And that's different, isn't it? You start living your life not for victory, but from victory. It is amazing the blessing of confidence and courage that you suddenly have. And now what was the trauma of the cross has gone away. Different perspective. Judas was traumatized by the cross. His perspective led him to take his own life. John was traumatized by the cross. But he gained through the resurrection a new perspective. And he discovered what it meant to live a life with a resurrection perspective. John saw it. Same event, different perspective. And then this is how it closed, verses 10. Then the disciples, they went home. Maybe the most human of the entire scripture, they went home. It's not that their circumstance changed. Their situation hadn't changed. They went home. But the way they saw it changed. Why? It's a new perspective. And suddenly the very same disciples that fled upon Jesus' arrest now were willing to give their life for him. How do you make that transition? You don't until you're empowered by the perspective of the resurrection. So here's the question for you this morning. Do you view your life from the perspective of the cross, or do you view it from the perspective of the empty tomb? And just last week, part of our Palm Sunday, I was in our Cornerstone service, and everybody was standing, and we were singing the opening songs, a big high-energy number. Frankly, not a lot of people were singing. And my wife tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Look at that man." "And what man?" She said, "Look at that man." I looked over to my left. There was a gentleman standing, singing. He had a smile about this big. He just stood erect, and he was singing, and he had this gigantic grin. This is my wife, Ashley. She said, right, she tapped me. She said, "Look at that man." She said, "We ought to all, everybody in here, ought to be like that guy." I looked over. I looked back at my wife. I said, "Do you know who that guy is?" She said, "No." I said, "That's Chad Mooney. He has inoperable and in all likelihood incurable cancer." That is a resurrection perspective. That's someone who stopped living their life for victory and living it with the confidence that no, our circumstances might not change. We are empowered to live it from victory. That's a different vantage point. That's extraordinary. And I saw Chad. Chad's with us today. Chad, just stand up. Will you stand up? We love you, man. All I know is I want to be like that guy. And that's the kind of perspective that can only come from believing in the power of the resurrection. So on this Easter, my prayer is that when you leave, you'll take on the power and the perspective of Jesus being raised from the dead for the sake of our sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise. We do not always understand the resurrection. Sometimes we struggle with it. Lord, frankly, we sit more often on the outside looking in, trying to figure it out. Maybe, Lord, on this Easter, something will be different. Maybe, Lord, on this Easter, we'll step inside. We'll experience up close and personal, and we'll allow you to change our point of view about what it means to be children who follow the resurrected Savior. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.